Welcome into the Podium Game Podcast. I'm Brian Gibberman here with Chris Barnwall of At The Hive. He's the editor. You can go see all of your Hornets stuff at atthehive.com, correct? Yeah, at the Espina. Oh, come on. You got atthehive.com. Yes.
At The Hive, yes.
Yes, I was looking at the I was clicking on the Twitter handle, and it took me a second. I didn't see it till it was at the bottom. I wanted to make sure I had that completely correct. He also does stuff at Hardwood Prac, some friendly bands. You can see him all these other places. So we do this through Skype. You like going around with Monopoly money?
I forgot that was my picture. That's actually an inside joke from At The Hive. One time a commenter, I guess when SB Nation started getting like some advertisement money in on some of the posts, someone thought we were getting like paid a bunch of money for the stuff we were doing. And we were like, dude, we don't get like anything for this. We don't get paid. He's like, oh, sure, you guys and your fat cat blogging. So that is my fat cat blogger money.
Yep, as someone who also writes for an SB Nation blog occasionally, we definitely do not get paid a lot of money. I can confirm that. All right, so where do we want to start here? Let's go through the trades first. Because I thought the Hornets have had a really interesting offseason. So first off, if you were to say who is in charge in running things, who do you think's getting final calls on all these decisions?
Well, for a long time, it was Rich Cho, but I think lately it's been Michael Jordan.
So you think it's transferred back to Jordan?
I think that he kind of did the James Dolan thing with the Knicks, where Donnie Walsh was there, he gave power over to the GM, and then when everything got fixed, he took it back.
Interesting. All right. So Jordan's doing all this stuff. Let's start with Lance.
Well, I think Cho is part of it as well, but like Jordan's definitely influencing the direction they're going.
Which I don't... I know a lot of people hated what they did last night there's a couple different angles off that, but the overall direction of what they've done, I actually think kind of makes sense.
I think it depends on how much good you think they can be.
Oh, I think middle of the pack Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel. Which the problem with the trade, they traded away Noah Vonleh, who was a really, really, really nice young prospect. He was 19. He showed a lot of promise. People were really excited about him. He somehow fell into them last year. Like, they made the playoffs, but because of Cleveland's weird thing of jumping up to the first spot, they were able to get the Pistons pick, the Hornets were. And it was like, wow, look at all this luck going into their first year as the Hornets. They get this nice young rookie. He doesn't play very much, and that's fine. And then they just kind of trade him away, and it's like, well, I guess isn't to say that anything wrong about getting Nicholas Batum, who, if you're going to get a Nicholas Batum, you have to give up an asset, and that's probably the guy you're going to have to give up there, especially since Portland looks like they're rebuilding right now. But it's weird because Batum's really good, except that this made me think, okay, if they're going to do a draft pick, they're going to draft someone who's like they can build around, right? Because this current team, they can't look at this and think that we can win the NBA championship with this team. Like last year, the last couple of years have been further proof of that. They need some young guys to get onto the team and get better. But then they draft an NBA-ready player with a low ceiling in Frank Kaminsky. So it's their win-now moves for a team that can't really win that much right now.
Yeah, no, that's fair. All right, we're going to circle back to all that. Let's start. This all started with Lance Stephenson, though.
Yes, the Lance Stephenson trade.
So they got Spencer Hawes and Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes got shipped away for Luke Ridnour.
Yes, they traded Lance Stephenson for Spencer Hawes and Barnes, and then they traded Barnes to that one was weird. Luke Ridnour got traded to the Grizzlies, who then got traded to the Hornets for Matt Barnes, and then they traded Luke Ridnour to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Jeremy Lamb.
This is like seven steps of Kevin Bacon with Luke Ridnour. Holy shit. Jesus, man.
Four teams in less than 24 hours. Or over 24 hours, I think.
It's pretty amazing. And he probably just sat in the same spot the entire time. He probably didn't have to go anywhere, so it wasn't even a big deal. But, all right, yeah. So, basically, all that they got Spencer Hawes' contract for Lance Stephenson. Was that something you were with or against?
at first I was with it because I thought, oh, this is probably going to lead to more moves. They got Barnes in here. Then they traded away Barnes. I was like, uh-oh. They literally just traded Lance Stephenson for Spencer Hawes. That's not good. Like, I don't care how bad Lance Stephenson was. I don't care how much of a locker room problem he is. Spencer Hawes' contract is atrocious, and he's not that good.
Yeah.
I've given him comparisons to Byron Mullins before.
Hawes has another 3 years left on his deal. Stephenson, you could have just gotten out of it after this next season. So,
and if they didn't like it so much, they could have eaten the contract.
Yeah,
like, just waive him.
Yeah, don't. I wouldn't, because of how it's structured, I wouldn't have stretched him, but waiving him and just having that money on the books and the buyout, I'm assuming they still would have gotten out of the buyout, right, for the next year, because he has some guaranteed money for the year after this one. I don't know how that works if they would have bought him out, though.
Yeah, he probably would have gotten some money. I'm not sure how the details work. I'm not entirely familiar with the CBA, but even so, they could have gone through another year, see how he panned out. Maybe they could have gotten even better trade value for him if he had a nice rebound year. But really, I just don't see the purpose in adding a Spencer Hawes for Lance Stephenson.
But that's fair. But the one thing with these moves, when you look at them as a whole, they were a miserable three-point shooting team last year. And what they've done is they're not going to be 30th in three-point shooting next year. If what they got rid of Batum in the next trade they made that we touched on a little bit, they traded Gerald Henderson and Vonley for Batum. I guess a lot of this, so you're high on Vonley. You thought that was...
He's going to be good, in my opinion, like in the NBA. I love Nicholas Batum, and I like that trade in that sense. But I soured on it when they made the pick last night. But yeah, I'm very high on Vonley. I think Portland got a great player there.
Okay, so that's part of the... See, I'm not... I think Vonley can be a solid rotation player. Like, if... I get not needing to have Zeller and Vonley. I can see that, depending on what you're doing with... And since... Especially if their plan was to bring in... They liked Kaminsky in the mix that much. That you really didn't need Kaminsky, Zeller, and Vonley. So it did make sense to get rid of one of them. And I love... Now, who knows how much they do this? I love the idea of going small and playing Big Al with MKG and Batum. I think that'd be fun.
I actually like that idea, too. I think that would be really fun as well. I think MKG could be really nice for. He can do a lot of things to create havoc with his defense. And his jump shot's getting there. I don't know if he'll be able to stretch the floor much, but he's creative enough to find a way to work out.
And then they also got Jeremy Lamb, I think, for a future second-round pick.
That I was really happy with. Like, if anything that happened from the Lance Stephenson trade, that was the one I really liked as a result. They got, because Matt Barnes, they said they didn't want him. Matt Barnes didn't want to be there. Just, it looked like they were going to have to eat the contract for nothing. They managed to turn that into a three-point shooter who might work out. If it doesn't, oh well, it wasn't that big a deal anyways because they got something for nothing. But if it works out, fantastic.
And he makes, and Gerald Henderson, it's nothing against him. He's a solid player, but his skill set...
He just doesn't fit in the modern NBA.
No, and I think he can. Like, next to Lillard, I think he's fine. Because I do think, I'm a person who, I agree, your first option on offense should always be to attack the rim and to shoot threes. But as the shot clock winds down, you need guys who can work for other shots, and I also want to make teams defend all three levels of the floor. I like court balance.
I 100% agree with that, and I love Henderson. I think he's a fine player. Just he has that weird style of he's better at mid-range jump shots and posting up than he is other areas of his game, and it fits weird. You can make him work, but it fits really weird.
And especially when you have Kemba Walker, who shoots like... who's basically Brandon Jennings from a shooting perspective. And Jennings actually shoots threes better than him, which is kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
I'm not a Kemba Walker guy. And with MKG and Big Al, like, that's not what you need. You need a guy, you need in those complementary spots, if you're building your team around Walker and Big Al as your two centerpieces, who knows if Big Al's going to be the guy going forward long-term after this year. But You need shooters with those guys on the court, and Lamb fits that specific role much better than Henderson does.
Yeah, I completely agree. As does Batum, and as does Kaminsky. They tried to do this last year, and it fell flat on their face. I remember last year we were all like, they finally got some shooting, and it turned out they didn't get any shooting at all. So hopefully this year they actually did get some shooting.
Yeah, and Marvin, I mean, now that Marvin Williams is like your fifth best shooter instead of your guy you're relying on for this, I think that's probably a better role for him. You get a full season of Troy Daniels, who hopefully I would like to see them continue to use. He's a good guy to have playing off a post guy. He makes a lot of sense to get some run.
PJ Harrison, that's a young guy that could turn into like a Jamal Crawford, J.R. Smith kind of player.
You think he has that kind of shot creation ability? I thought he was.
And that's the thing. I'm not sure if he'll be as good as a dribbler, but he runs around screens great. I love watching him run around screens. That guy gets open.
Yeah, and he can definitely shoot the ball. He proved that in the D League at that level. He didn't really get much of a chance last year to really do anything. But yeah, the team just conceptually. The team makes a lot more. Now, whether the upside of it is what you want it to be, that's a completely fair complaint to have. But conceptually, the team makes so much more sense this year.
I completely agree with that. I really like the fact that they added 3-point shooting. I was saying when I wrote up the article on them drafting Kaminsky, I said, you know what, he can help them on offense with spacing the floor. They have a great defensive coach in Steve Clifford who knows how to get the best out of his defenders. They have a fantastic defender, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Like, they have all these solid players. They just needed to add some 3-point shooting to hopefully make it work. I think the strategy right now is fire as many 3-pointers as you can on offense, give Big Al the ball down low, and then play defense that's so incredibly good it doesn't matter how many shots they hit.
And that's a logical, that seems pretty logical with this roster. I did this last year, and I sold myself on them last year, and I'm doing it again to myself, so.
We're both going to regret it by the end of the next season.
Yeah, but this is going to be a thing I'm going to do, because I think Batum has a bounce-back season. He's 27 years old. That seems
like...
He was
fighting injuries all last year. Like, last year, I don't even consider last year part of him. Like, his post-All-Star break numbers were fine. Like, this guy's going to be good. He's going to be fine.
Good secondary creator, and like it was just the shooting numbers just dropped, and he wasn't as good defensively. Like the assist rate was still where it was. He averaged a couple less points a game because he just didn't make shots that he normally made.
Yeah, exactly. Like plus he was fighting all these little minor nagging injuries that were pestering him throughout the beginning of the season. Then he finally started to kind of get his shot back. And Portland was really weird last year, and kind of just in general, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like, they started off really hot, and then they just kind of faded.
I haven't been as big of a believer in that Portland team as others. I always think Aldridge and Lillard are slightly overrated. They're both top 25 players in the league, but I think they get thought of in a little bit too high of a regard. I'm just nitpicking a little bit, but I thought that team was always thought of. I never, like, some people thought they could have grown into championship contenders. That was something I never really bought.
I think they could have maybe done that if they had a better roster around them, which they were kind of doing. They were kind of getting there, but that first year they had an atrocious bench. That second year they got better, but they couldn't play defense. Then last year, like, they had just injuries.
All right, so Kaminsky, you really you wanted Winslow, I'm assuming?
I wanted Willie Cauley-Stein, but obviously he wasn't available. So, yeah, I would have been much happier with Winslow because I think they could have developed him into something a lot more. I think they could have really gone with that small ball lineup of Batum at the four instead of what it looks like they're going to go for a gigantic lineup of Batum at the two, which I don't hate that, but I think that they'd be better served going small, and I think Winslow would have helped them with that.
I can't believe Riley got Winslow.
Oh my god.
I'm so dejected about this.
How does... the guy ignores the draft for years, which makes sense. He had LeBron. He just, everything falls apart for him last year. And then he gets a guy who was projected to be a top five player at one point, or top five pick at one point.
He got rewarded for trying to make the playoffs, lucking out, missing them, and then got Winslow. Like, it's beyond absurd.
The Heat are... I'm a Magic fan, so I have plenty of experiences of watching the Heat as well, and they might be one of the luckiest winning franchises ever. They are a smart, well-ran franchise, but oh my god, do they get lucky.
Yes. As a Knicks fan, we both have the same... It sounds like we both have the same hatred towards the Heat.
I don't hate them, but I don't like them. I really respect them, though.
The worst was, because I've always been like a LeBron defender, and he's always been one of my favorite players in the league, the worst was having to root for the Heat because I wanted to see LeBron win, and knowing I was rooting for the Heat at the same time. Like, and Dwayne Wade was there, like, I felt dirty.
Chris Bosh has always been my thing. I love Chris Bosh. I love his personality. I love him as a player, and then he went to Miami. I was like, come on.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Bosh is... I've interviewed Bosh. I've talked to him once, and he's a pleasure to deal with, and he's one of my favorite people to listen to just talk about, not even basketball, just to hear him get interviewed and talk is really fun.
He's really, really smart. Like, I want to listen to him talk about, like, anything. Coding, the plot, what's going on in today's world, like, anything. I'd go to a lecture of his. Like, if he was a college giving a lecture, I'd go there.
Yeah, he should give lectures. I wouldn't pay any money for it because I'm broke, but I would go see it.
A post-career as a professor, maybe, at the University of Miami?
Yeah, that would work, and I'd fly out to Miami for that. That would work for me. That'd be fun. All right, where were we? We just got sidetracked here.
We were talking about Justice Winslow Kaminsky. Yeah.
So Winslow is the guy you want, and I would have taken Winslow also, but I'm going to play devil's advocate. I don't think Kaminsky is that bad of a back.
Oh, I don't think Kaminsky's a bad player. I ranted about this last night. Kaminsky is a fine player. The problem is that you picked him at 9, where he has a low ceiling. He's an NBA-ready player. He has potential to develop. But more than likely, the skills that he's bringing into the NBA, he'll get better at it, and that's all he's going to do. And that's just something you don't usually pick at 9.
Especially in a draft like this. That's fair. I don't debate that. But you look at it, he's a better athlete than people give him credit for. Basically, he's white, so people assume he's not athletic. I mean, let's be real. He's not a great jumper, but he moves well. He has good balance. He has good feel for the court. He can shoot. He has a post-up game. His pick-and-roll defense isn't terrible. Like, he's not some poor-footed person running around the court looking awkward. Like,
he's not Kelly Olynyk.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. Like, you look at him, he looks like he belongs on a basketball court.
Yeah, he composes himself well. He looks like he seems to know what he's doing. He doesn't look awkward. He's not the typical awkward white guy that people expect out of the 7-foot-tall guy, white guy on a team.
He's not Andrea Bargnani. I think that's...
He's not Spencer Hodge. He's not Andrea Bargnani. He's not whatever tall white guy you can think of. That's just a lazy comparison.
Yeah, I was talking about this with a couple people when we were covering Suns workouts, and I was trying to come up with a comparison for him, and I really couldn't come up with anything I liked. Like, the Channing Frye one, I don't like because I think he has a way more well-rounded game than him. Do you have anyone that you came up with a comp that you thought made sense?
He's not as fast, but I thought Nikola Mirotic kind of worked.
A little bit bigger and more of a post-game, though, right?
Right, but he's not as fast, so he'd be a little more inside than outside, but I feel like they have similar skill sets from a from a perimeter standpoint.
I like that one better than Fry because Mirotic. Go ahead.
We were actually talking about this at the high thread earlier. That we were talking about his ceiling, and someone threw a ceiling of Pau Gasol, which is a little absurd, but considering it's his ceiling, I kind of don't disagree.
With potential for 3-point shooting. Yes, I think a poor man, Pau Gasol, who could shoot threes, and key for anyone who's listening, poor man, Pau Gasol.
Poor man.
Yes. That's something, because that's why I thought Phil liked him, because, and why he, I was terrified that he was going to take him at 4, because that's what he was thinking when he saw Kaminsky play.
I think Michael Jordan saw Josh McRoberts. Which, I don't get how you see that when Josh McRoberts might be the best big man passer in the NBA. And I don't know much about Kaminsky's passing skills, but I don't remember them being highly touted.
Yeah, but I'm a Michigan fan, so I saw Wisconsin a decent amount. I'm not going to say I remember how good of a passer he was that I could, like, a great analysis of it, but just thinking of how Wisconsin runs their offense, you have to be a pretty good passer to fit into their concepts.
Yeah, you have to be a decent passer. Like, I don't think he's a bad passer. Just when you throw out Josh McRoberts, it's like you're expecting him to get really good at passing, which I don't know if that's something you learn. I think that's just something you have.
No, you're not running your offense through the top of the key like the Hornets would do at times with McRoberts. That's not a thing that you're going to be able to do.
I kind of hope they do that with Batum, though.
Yes, that Batum kind of taking over the Roberts role, like, it's really weird to say, but it's also pretty logical.
He has a better jump shot than McRoberts. You can still let Kemba be the gunner on the court that he was, which will be fine for Kemba because he's a fine creator, but his first role is shoot, his second role is shoot, his third role is shoot, and then he passes.
Oh, God. And he doesn't shoot well. Oh, boy.
Okay, well, I like Kemba. I really like Kemba. He's fast. He has the nastiest crossover in the league. But, oh, my goodness. Just, he can't shoot.
No, he really is. And people hate this, but he's Brandon Jennings. He really is.
Yeah, I don't hate that comparison. I would have hated it last year, but after the season he just had.
I've talked about this with people. I think Kemba gets a pass because he's from UConn. He had the title run. He's likable. People know him. They like
him. He has highlights.
Yeah, it's a recognizable name. So he just gets a complete pass while Jennings did the China thing. And honestly,
and the 55-point game. The 55-point game ruined Jennings.
I think I would take Jennings over Kemba. And I don't like the 3-point shooting is that's kind
of
key for me.
Is,
like,
Stan Van Gundy coaching both of them? See, that's the thing. If Stan Van Gundy's coaching both of them, I think he could make something out of Kemba. He made something out of Jameer Nelson.
Yeah, and Ray for Austin.
That was his greatest work ever.
Okay, they got to the finals with Ray for Austin playing point guard when Nelson got hurt. That really was nuts.
I love that team so much. I love the 09 team. It ruined everyone's expectations. It ruined Kobe, LeBron. It ruined everything. And Cavs fans are still mad at them, and I love them.
I mean, you're a fan of the team. You have to. I was pretty salty that you ruined Kobe and LeBron, too.
We ruined everything! Yes!
Including the actual team.
While changing the NBA at the same time. I will never say that the Magic didn't. Speaking of the Magic, Tobias Harris pursues near max offer from real GM.
From the Magic? Or yeah. From another team?
Detroit and Boston are leading suitors.
That works for me. Keep him away from the Knicks. Not a bad player, not worth that money.
Oh, yeah. I kind of want him to return with the Magic. I just don't know if I want him for the max.
What's the deal with him and Skiles, though?
They say they like each other. I think that I don't believe it at all. He was so happy to come to Orlando from Milwaukee, and then they brought the guy that benched him.
Since you're a Magic fan, we're just going to talk about the Magic also, because I want to. I don't think it was you who was killing it. I think it was Eddie Rivera who murdered it. I like the Skiles hire for where the Magic are.
The, I don't know. I didn't hate it, but I'm not a fan. I hated it at first because just they're gonna fire him in 3 to 4 years, like it's inevitable. But and I feel like yes, he'll get the defense better. Yes, he'll make them competitive. The problem is that if you look at all the teams he's coached, they had to rebuild the minute he left, or at least make major changes.
Do you think that was more to do with him or just circumstance coincidence?
I feel like the teams buy into him, and then they try to bring players that he likes, and then that's what ruins them. Because he's good enough for a team to buy into, and then they get stuck with his players.
See, hopefully Hennigan's smarter than that. You build forward with what you're doing. You don't let him have any input into personnel. You play Mario Hezonja 48 minutes a night.
That one, I'm excited for him. Did you see his Instagram post earlier?
Yes.
That was amazing.
Why can't he be on the Knicks? That was unfair. I was upset about that. I wanted Hezonja or Moutier. And then,
is that why everyone booed? Because I didn't understand why everyone hated Kristaps Porzingis.
Well, I called them the fucking worst and said bye. And then after my initial reaction, I grasped what they were doing, and I have no problem with it. But it was just, that's why I said this. I taped a podcast with Dube, and we did a Knicks one, and I said the same thing. This is why Twitter is bad sometimes. Sometimes
it gets your immediate reaction, yeah. And then you're like, oh, I don't exactly feel that way anymore.
Yes, like, as soon as I, like, calm down, they didn't get one of the two players I wanted, and then one of the other two players I would have preferred. But I calmed down, I looked at the big picture, I analyzed it, and I was okay. But in the immediacy, I have a computer in front of me with a thing that I can type into without thinking, and sometimes it really doesn't work out well.
Yeah, I've had moments like that where I've blasted something, and then in like 2 days later, I'm like, oh, never mind, I'm actually cool with this, or I'll pray, like, the Batum-Spencer-Haas trade, look at me bringing this back around, I was really a big fan of it at first, both of those trades, and then as the time moved on, I soured on kind of both of them, mainly the Haas one.
Yeah, the Haas, that one I didn't get. I'll like the Batum trade,
I'll like it, but I'll just be like, why don't they have Vonleh still? I really would have liked it more if they had drafted Willie Cauley-Stein or a young guy that they could develop.
Would have you rather traded Zeller than Vonleh?
I guess if you had to trade one of them, yes. Only because I feel like Vonleh's potential is higher. That said, I love Zeller. Zeller's a great player.
Oh, yeah. You know what I wanted them to do? I just remembered this. I know they traded for Lamb. But I wanted them to take Booker at 9.
That was what I thought they were going to do. I was shocked at that. Like, I was like, they're either going to, if they get Winslow, that's fine. If they get Kaminsky, that's weird. But I was still expecting them to take Booker.
Yeah, before Winslow fell, I would have taken Winslow. But before, if Stanley Johnson wouldn't have gotten picked, say the Pistons would have went with Winslow. And then it was Stanley Johnson and Booker on the board. I would have liked to seen the Hornets take Booker. I think that was a really nice pickup by the Suns at 13. I think he's going to be a good player. And I think his shooting, him and Lamb as your shooting guards, would have made a lot of sense. I think that would have been good.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Like, I mean, Booker was mocked to them all throughout the draft process. Like, I thought it was just a sure thing as, unless they were putting on, like, the greatest smokescreen in the world. And then Kaminsky started appearing out of nowhere about, like, 3 days ago, which I thought was really weird. I was just thinking his agent was trying to get his name up. And then with how long it took them to make the pick and the Suns being mentioned as part of that, I thought, oh, the Suns took Booker, the Hornets took Kaminsky. This is going to be a trade, right? But the trade never happened.
Yeah. Well, they, cap-wise for free agency, they're basically pretty much set in this roster. What I'm looking at, it looks like they have $70 million guaranteed. Are they open to using mid-level biannual exceptions?
If they like the player, yeah. I think that they might add a couple roster rotation guys, but for the most part, this starting lineup and main core is what you're going to see.
Anyone you have in mind that you would like them to target?
Not that I can think of. Just the team's such a mess that it's hard to figure out. Like, I guess a backup point guard of some sort.
To replace Mo Williams.
Yeah, to replace Mo. Someone that's a little bit more of a... They keep getting Gunner backup point guards. Like, they had Sessions, and then they had Gary Neal. Gary Neal wasn't a backup point guard, but, like, he was their backup kind of guard person. I don't know how to describe that. Like, they went from Ramon Sessions to Gary Neal to Mo Williams. Like, I want kind of more of a game manager.
Yeah, and I mean, Brian Roberts and Daniels can kind of fill that three-point Gunner role. Like, someone who can more run the offense. That's a good idea.
Yeah, Brian Roberts had an atrocious year. He really just needs to be gunning out there.
Would you just cut him and eat the money?
I wouldn't hate that. I like Brian Roberts' game. I just don't know how he fits on this team, especially after how bad he played last season. I just don't. And Clifford never seemed to really enjoy playing. You know, I think that just this isn't a match that works well.
You'd rather just Daniels get his whatever minutes he would get?
Yeah, see what you get out of the young guy.
Any chance they bring Taylor back or Biyombo? Yeah, so you got two restricted free agents, Taylor and Biyombo. What do you think's happening there?
I think they want to bring Biyombo back, but only for the right price. Which I'm really hoping that he's still kind of their secret because Biyombo was actually a really good rim protector last year. Jeff Taylor, after the off-court incident and the Achilles tear injury, and I don't know if they're going to bring him back just because he just had a really bad year. I don't know if he's worth everything.
Do you think he's a good buy low candidate for a team before he had that Achilles injury? And obviously the off-court stuff is terrible and that's being a crappy human. But he showed some potential to be a decent rotation NBA player. You think that possibility is still there? You think ship sailed on that?
For the off-court stuff really quick, apparently that was a situation where, like, this doesn't defend the way he acted, but apparently it was a weird situation where it was, like, more of an argument that got kind of physical between both parties.
Okay, it's good to point stuff like that out.
Yeah, this isn't to say that what he did was defensible, it's just saying that, like, it's a really weird gray area situation. And he served his time, he served his suspension, he's gone through the court process system, so I think the off-court stuff, while it's going to raise eyebrows, it's not going to be a red mark on him.
And it doesn't seem like something that's a pattern with him. He seems like a reasonably good dude.
Yeah, he's not known for getting in trouble off the court. I think the Achilles injury is what hurt him the most. Because, yeah, he showed a lot of potential, but then he had that awful injury and like just his athleticism is clearly not what it was. I don't know if he can really play without it.
Yeah, you're right. That was kind of he wasn't a great shooter, but it looked like he could probably get to league average from three if he kept working at it. But the explosiveness was more what made his game go. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, he had a really quick first step. He'd get to the rim well. He took contact well. That was his game, and he used that threat of his first step to get him jump shots. But without that, I don't know. I mean, if no one offers him a deal, he might. For all we know, Taylor might take the qualifying offer if they even offer it.
All right, so I think we pretty much hit everything. So you're more, let's just finish this, you're more negative than positive about what's happened?
I'm kind of in the middle. I think they'll be good next year. I think they'll make the playoffs. I don't think they'll be as bad as, I think the three-point shooting will be fine. I think it's going to be a weird year because Batum might be a one-year rental. I really hope they re-sign him if he has a great year. Jefferson's situation's up in the air. Kemba Walker isn't developing, I think, the way they had hoped. Just they have a lot of veterans and players that don't look like they're going anywhere outside of Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and it feels like the only way they're going to become a contender one day with this group is if Michael Kidd-Gilchrist becomes a superstar.
It seems more like he's a complimentary player than a superstar.
He's developing his offensive game a lot. I think he could be an all-star one day the way he's developing, but Yeah, like right now he's still just a great defender with a developing offensive game. So.
Yeah, like I don't think he ever makes the Kawhi Leonard jump to being able to be the centerpiece, but I think he could be a really, really good second or third best player on a team.
I agree with that, and he was the anchor to a inconsistent but very good defense last year, and the reason it was inconsistent is because he was injured all the time.
Yeah, he'd be good. Hopefully he gets 82 games in this year. I really like, he seems like a really good kid, and I like watching him play. He's fun. You have anything you want to get out there, plug, let people know about?
At the Hive, I had a bunch of really, really, really great stuff going on yesterday. We have some even better stuff going up today. Going to have reactions to the Kaminsky pick. Friendly Bounce is doing a lot of really great stuff throughout the year. We're covering the WNBA now. We have some drafts for... We have some draft articles. We have a really, really fun article related to Pokemon coming out soon that you guys really want to check out.
I used to play Super Smash. The only Pokemon I know is from when I played Super Smash Brothers when I was in high school.
You only played it in high school? Super Smash Brothers, like, I played, like, every single one.
I only played the first one, and I want to say it was on Nintendo GameCube. I'm old.
The Super Smash Brothers Melee, that's the second one, actually.
I used to always play with Kirby, and all that I used to do was either pile drive or just be the brick and shoot down. And I was awful. I was so, my friends were good, and I was just terrible. And all that I would do was just fly in the air and brick people.
And all you know of Pokemon is the Pokemon that were in that game.
Jeez. Well, now I'm happy. I just got to talk about Super Smash Brothers. So this is a perfect time to wrap up the podcast. Chris, thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, and that wraps up another edition of the Podium Game Podcast.